This evening, we will hear the concluding part of Pastor Brian Grant's message of Easter Sunday just past, entitled, The Impact of the Resurrection. In the first part of this message, which aired last week, Pastor Grant pointed out two important ways in which the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts everyone in this world, whether a believer or not. Using as his main text the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he brought out the sobering truth of how the resurrection of Jesus Christ impacts how we face death, and secondly, how it impacts our eternal destiny. This evening, we pick up the message at that point again as Pastor Grant leads into his final point about the impact of the resurrection. So if you have your Bibles, we invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of his message, The Impact of the Resurrection. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant.
Resurrection is not reconstruction. God has no plan to go searching for, to put you back the way you were. He's not going to put you back the way you were. He's going to give you a better type of body. He's going to give us what the Bible calls a spiritual body. There's a natural body. Some of you are looking good in your natural body. But there is a spiritual body. And to help us, Paul gives us a little illustration here in verse number 35 of the same chapter. Here's what he says in verse 35. Someone will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. You notice what he said? You do not sow. When you are a farmers don't plant what they expect to harvest. A farmer who wants to plant mango, who wants to harvest mangoes, does not put a mango in the ground. If you want to harvest corn, you do not put a whole sheaf of corn in the ground. Am I right about that? You said, Brian, I don't know if I can follow you, because I know you don't know a thing about agriculture. But that's what I heard. I heard that if you want to grow corn, you put a grain of corn. I gather you put a seed, and that seed becomes something. Am I right about it? Oh, I've seen my wife plant tulips. And I notice she does not put the tulip in. She puts an ugly bulb. Am I right about it? What an ugly bulb. Tulips are so ugly. The tulip bulb. She puts that ugly tulip bulb in the earth. And voila! After so many months or whatever, out comes a spectacularly beautiful tulip. But it came from this ugly bulb. And the Apostle Paul is letting us know, listen, what is the body we're going to get? Is far superior, is far more glorious than the body we have now. I hope you're getting it. You see, even if you feel right now like an ugly tulip, hallelujah, one day, no matter what we are going to come forth with this spiritual body, a body, a glorious body. The body we're going to get is the same body that Jesus had after the resurrection. Did you realize that? The Bible says, when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to get the body like what Jesus had. Now, this is an incredible body, you know. You remember when, after Jesus had been raised from the dead, he visited his disciples, you remember? And they were in a room, and the door was closed. And what happened? Jesus didn't open the door. Jesus just appeared inside. The body of Jesus had the ability to go through the wall. You say, oh, he must have been a ghost. By the way, that's exactly what the disciples thought. They said, he must be a ghost. He must be, here's the Bible uses the word, a spirit. He must be a spirit. Or as some of you are from the islands, you would say, he must be a duppy. I didn't have to translate because I told you what it was before. So Jesus, knowing that they figured he is a ghost or a duppy, he says, come check me out. He said, come check me out. He flesh and bones. You say, Brian, I can't believe it. Well, I don't really care what you believe. I'm just going to believe Jesus. Is that okay with you? And you see, if Jesus can make me out of dust, come on now. Come on now. If Jesus can take up some dust, and you look so fine, look at you. And you just dust. After he's finished his reconstruction, what an amazing body we're going to have. A body that can go through walls. It defies all the scientists. A body that can go through space. No space suit, you know. You see them at the space shuttle, they put in all the stuff. Man, when the Bible says at the end time, at the rapture, all the believers who are in Christ are going to rise for us. He's going to change us, and we're going to take off for heaven. We're not going to strap on no spacesuit. Bang! Oh, you didn't realize what God is up to? Do you know the city we're going to occupy is 1,500 miles high? Are you going to meet me for tea 1,400 miles up? You say, we're going to eat up there. Yes, remember Jesus after he was resurrected? He was eating, they had a little fish by the sea. Come on now. We're going to have food. No, you folks are into your chitlins. I'm not sure you're going to get it. You may not get the oxtail. You may not get some of that stuff. But I'm pretty sure there's going to be chicken because, you know, chicken is at every church function. Chicken is the church bird, is the Christian bird. Can you imagine this? This place, the Bible said, they're made of pure gold. I mean, we work so hard to get gold. It's pure gold. The Bible says the gold is gold that you've never seen. It's gold of transparent glass. Oh, I hope you're going to be there. I hope you're going to be there. Somebody said to me recently, Brother Brian, are you sure we're going to enjoy it? Are you sure we're not going to get bored? They said, Brother Brian, after 10,000 years, aren't we going to get bored? I said, listen, if you ever know what God is up to, you wouldn't even think that way. One of my friends, just a few weeks ago, she called me and she said, I picked up my little 3.5-year-old girl at the daycare, and as we were driving along, my little daughter, she said from the back seat, she said, Mommy, is my daycare teacher going to heaven with us? So mom didn't know. So mom, they chatted a little bit about heaven. Then the mom says, so why do you want to go to heaven to be with Jesus? The little girl said, Mommy, I want to go to heaven to play hide and seek with Jesus. Mom was taken by surprise that this little girl wants to play hide and seek. And so mom looked in her rear view mirror at the little girl. The little girl was beaming. And the little girl said, Mommy, don't you know Jesus has some really neat hiding places in heaven? No, I don't know if we're going to play hide and seek. But all I know, he's got a plan. He's got an incredible plan. And heaven is going to be beyond your imagination. Can you imagine we have all that time? I spoke at a funeral recently, and I was saying, just imagine, we will have eternity to chit-chat with Moses and Isaac and Jacob and all the patriarchs and David and the Apostle Paul and Peter and all of these. And here's what sort of struck me as I was talking. I said, you know, and they won't be ornery. You know, one of the challenges of communication on earth is that people have bad attitudes. You ever run into anybody with a bad attitude? They're ornery. They're miserable. They're cantankerous, all right? They're not thoughtful. But I tell you, when we get to heaven and all the sin is removed, hallelujah, we're going to have unbelievable fellowship one with the other. Even some of the people you didn't like up down here, you're going to see them in heaven. And you're going to be saying, whoa, 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 come on, give me a big hug. And you can chat with all these guys and all these ladies, all the millions and millions of saints gone on before you. Wow, we're going to have a grand time. When I was a teenager, we used to sing a song. We're going to have a grand time up in heaven. Have a grand time. And I'm excited. I'm going to be there. most exciting thing about heaven is that we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who we worship this morning. We're going to see the nail prints in his hand. We're going to be able to worship him not just by faith, but we'll be able to worship him face to face. What a day that's going to be when we see Jesus. Amen. The Bible tells us, listen, he is going to be so amazing. The Bible says that heaven doesn't need the sun or any other form of light, because it says the glory of God gives heaven all the light it needs. Can you imagine what that's all about? I told you the place is 1,500 miles high. And the glory of God will fill the entire place. And I'm so happy I'm going to be there, because Jesus died for my sin. Because I have received him as my Savior, I received him into my heart. And Jesus Christ, and one day he's going to give me this spiritual body. But the unbeliever is going to get an indestructible body. The unbeliever is going to get an indestructible body. You see, we're not going to be annihilated. Some people say at the end time you're just going to be burned up. It's a lie. You're not going to be burned up at all. Some preachers don't preach this anymore. Because some preachers say to talk about what's going to happen to the unbeliever, it's so scary, it's so negative. People will say God is not a God of love. And so some preachers said, I only want to talk about the fact that Jesus loves you.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Well, let me tell you, the most loving thing I can do is preach God's truth. The most loving thing I can do is to talk about a God who is a God of love, but also a God of holiness and a God of justice. And listen to what he says. It happens to the unbeliever. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 20 while you hold your finger in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. And here's what it says. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. It doesn't matter who you are. You might be Mr. Big Shot. You may have all the degrees behind you. Both the small and the great are going to stand before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works. I'm going to go to the final verse. Verse number 14, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Verse number 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. What a sad picture. What a sad picture. You have on one hand, Jesus warned us that there were going to be two destinations. There's one group that's going to eternal life. There's another group that's going to judgment. Jesus said it. And now in his book, he gives us a little more detail about what it's going to be like for those who go to eternal judgment. You say, Pastor, I thought you said God is a God of love. God is a God of love, but he's also a holy God. And you and I need to know. Here, stop. Wake up if you're sleeping. Sometimes we think sin is so cute. So what are we saying? God is a God of holiness. Do you not realize the smallest little sin that you do is so reprehensible in the sight of a holy God that he can do nothing but judge you? But here's the beautiful part. I'm glad I'm a preacher of the gospel. Because if that was all I had to tell you, that would be bad news. But here's the good news. Jesus loves you. And he loved me, and Jesus came to earth with one purpose, to die on the cross of Calvary for your sin and for my sin. And on that first Good Friday, Jesus suffered and bled and died. You know, mankind, and sometimes we concentrate on what man did to Jesus. We can see that body of Jesus as it is brutalized. His back is bleeding. His head is bleeding. His hands are bleeding. Everything is bleeding. He has been pulverized. They have punched him in his face. They have spat upon him. They have mocked him. But you know, that did not save my wretched soul. You know what saved my wretched soul? I'm talking about mine. Yours, mine. You may think yours is not. You know what saved my wretched soul? Is what happened in the 3 hours of darkness. The Bible tells us in those 3 hours of darkness, when God the Father darkened the scene as he dealt with his son, we hear the Lord Jesus crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Someone asked in our Bible class recently, they asked, why did God forsake his son? Why did God forsake his son? The answer was given. You want to hear the answer? I'm going to tell you anyhow. Jesus Christ was paying the penalty for your sin and mine. The Bible says Jesus became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And when your sin and my sin was put on Jesus, Jesus became reprehensible to his father. A father who can do nothing but judge sin. Jesus, the same son who said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. In that minute, Jesus Christ was reprehensible to his father because he was bearing your sin and my sin. And his father turned his back and poured out his judgment on his son. And we hear Jesus crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus Christ was paying the debt and the penalty and the judgment that your sin and my sin deserve. And young man, today Jesus Christ is knocking at your heart's door. And he's saying, I died for you. Will you receive me as your Savior? I'm so thankful that the 3 hours ended in triumph, because after Jesus had successfully and satisfactorily paid the penalty that my sin deserved, we hear Jesus crying out at the end, Tetelestai! A shout of triumph. Your English Bible translates it, it is finished. Now some people, when they do the Good Friday service, they said, it is finished. No, it was not a statement of defeat. It was a statement of triumph. Jesus was saying, I have accomplished what I came to do. I have paid the price for sin. And this morning I am rejoicing that my sin debt has been paid. And I am clean. I've been washed in his blood. This morning I have no doubt. I have no doubt as to where I am going. I know who I am believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And I want to ask you, my friend, do you know this Jesus? Is he your Savior? Have you received him? My friend, the resurrection of Jesus impacts every one of us, and it's going to impact your eternal destiny. You are either going to make a decision today to say, I don't want you, and you're going to face the judgment of God, or you can receive his offer of salvation and say, Lord Jesus, I receive you, and you can come with us to heaven. Hallelujah. But the resurrection of Jesus not only impacts how we face death, it not only going to impact our eternal destiny, but finally, it should impact our lives today. And here's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It should impact our lives today. You know, the tragedy is that there are some Christians here this morning, and if you're honest, you would have to admit, I have not been steadfast. Come on now. This verse, he's really targeting Christians, and he's saying, Christian, in light of what Jesus has done, and in light of what's ahead, he says, Christian, be steadfast. The tragedy is some Christians are inconsistent. It's like seesaw, peekaboo. Jesus, here I am. Catch me when you can. I'm here today. Are you steadfast? Are you committed? Are you one of those who is dedicated and determined? Listen, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you. Are you steadfast? The apostle says, in light of what's happening, be steadfast. And this morning, when I give the invitation, I'm going to ask some of you Christians who know you have not been steadfast to make a rededication. He says, be steadfast. But then he says, not only be steadfast, he says, be immovable. Don't let them blow you. Don't make stuff blow you all over the place. You go to college and the professor says, well, I don't know if the Bible is true. Oh, he must know he has a PhD. Don't be moved. Be steadfast. Be immovable. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. I ain't turning back. I ain't moving. I'm immovable. He said, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, I want to talk to you this morning. Don't worry, I'm just about landing the plane. But there's some of you here this morning. Let's be honest. You are a Christian, but you are not abounding in the work of the Lord. If God were to ask you, so what ministry are you involved in? What are you doing for me? How are you serving me? Listen, time is running out. What are you doing? This morning, God is challenging us. He's not only speaking to the unsaved. He's not only encouraging the hearts of the believers about what's ahead, but he's saying right now, this fact of my resurrection ought to impact you now. It should make you steadfast. It should make you immovable. It should all make you abounding in God's work. It's time to get involved. It's time to recommit. It's time to say, God, you can use me. But as I close, I want to say a word to you if you're not saved. My friend, if you're not saved, this is your chance. Jesus says, now is the accepted time. You know, Jesus only talks about today. You see, your only opportunity to get saved is now. We don't know what tomorrow brings forth. So the only time you are sure that you can get saved is when? Now. Way back in Isaiah 1 verse 18, the word of God says, come now and let us reason. Come now and let us reason. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Here's what Jesus is saying. God is saying, it don't matter what you've done. Aren't you glad? It don't matter what you've done. You could be so messed up. Jesus says, well, it's come for you. He said, though they be red like crimson, he said that they could be as white as snow. He says, come now. Come now. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus. Repent of your sin and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer. And he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215 877-475-0 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.